You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you on this edition. Looking forward to Tuesday's racing. Racing on Tuesday, coming from Salisbury, Yarmouth, Southall, Lingfield and Roscommon. And we're going to take one from each of those meetings, with the exception of Yarmouth. One at Salisbury, one at Southall, one at Lingfield and one at Roscommon. And try and find you a winner or two for Tuesday. Mr. Holding, how the devil are you?
Pretty good. Yes, not bad at all, Alex.
You've now been a father for
7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Although I actually said 7 months on the radio about half an hour ago, but it feels like 7 months.
That's almost 50 days.
Yep. I'm coping okay.
Okay. Just coping?
My wife's doing a very, very good job, yeah.
Okay.
She's trying to balance, obviously looking after Edward and making sure at the same time that I'm allowed to continue to do as much work as I possibly physically can without overstepping the line.
Has he been clocking any speed figures yet?
I haven't got him using a stopwatch, but he's got quite a good grip.
Okay.
So holding a stopwatch and pressing a few buttons, I think, will only be a matter of time.
Could be a jockey.
He's not overly big, so yeah, that could well be the case.
That could be a we could be talking about him.
He watched his first horse race with me last week, and I brought him into the office. My nap of the day was running. I said, come on, son. Come watch your first race. So I plonked him in front of the telly, and lo and behold, he was a lucky mascot because he won.
Well, there you go. Get him in the studio with us. Yeah. You're live on Racing Radio again tomorrow.
I am indeed.
With John Barb once again.
Yep.
Although it's Darren Owen in the presenter's chair, replacing Mark Walton from today. So do join the team for all of tomorrow's action. And of course, we are in that, I think it's fair to call it a lull, the pre-Ascot lull.
Feels like pre-Cheltenham. Where
it
you
does
get
a little
where
bit,
you
yeah.
do get a lot of mundane gaffy meetings building up to the crescendo, which is Ascot next week.
There's been a lot of racing in the last fortnight or so.
Yeah,
most of it has been of moderate quality, and also with the rain that we've had, it's made it pretty difficult to punt as well.
Hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I've been searching high and wide for my best bets and naps. Luckily, dropped on a couple of nice ones last week. Although I did notice that Dean's Road was back from 10s into 4s, so there were 6
nice.
Points gone. And Road to Dubai of George Scott's was 7-1 all through the course of the day last week, and then it went off 9-2.
Is that the apprentice race?
The one that won the apprentice race, yes.
Yes.
So there was 8.5 points missing off my naps total.
Well, there you go.
I would have been a nice profit by now. Well, but anyway, 2 winners is better than none at all.
That's true. And as we record this, the going for Tuesday's racing is generally okay. Good at Salisbury, good to firm Yarmouth, good at Southall. Lingfield's is good on the turf, and obviously the all-weather is standard. They've got a mixed card. Would you call it a mixed card? It's not really a mixed card because there's no jumping, but it's...
Well, it's three flat turf and the rest all-weather.
4 flat turf.
Sorry, the other way around.
Oh, yeah. And it is soft at Roscommon, but...
That'll dry out.
Yeah.
I think the forecast is quite favourable for tomorrow.
Okay. Right, we're going to focus on 4 races. All of them coming up in the evening, although one of them is from the afternoon meeting, if that makes sense. Salisbury's 5:30. It's the final race on the card, actually, at Salisbury. I will just say Salisbury and Lingfield are the 2 clear meetings at William Hill on Tuesday. It's a pretty open apprentice handicap, the 5:30. There's some jockeys in there that we know plenty about that are very promising. There's some that we know very little about at all. Whatever happens, these races are pretty difficult. Full stop.
Yep.
And this one doesn't look that much easier, though there are quite a few horses arriving here in pretty good nick.
Yeah, I'd probably take a chance here with the top weight. Bahamian Dollar from the David Evans stable. Little bit patchy, you'd have to say, this gelding by Bahamian Bounty, until running a very, very big speed figure last time out at Windsor in defeat. Chased down a horse called Major Pusey for regular form watchers will know, ran a blinder at Haydock on Saturday. Much better race. Actually looking like it was going to win for the majority of it from a bad draw as well. I think he was drawn in stall 1. and just got touched off in the end. So that form line of that Windsor race has been boosted. The time figure looked very good. Back in the field was Sir Billy Wright, who was eighth, and that just got beat last week at Chepstow in a wild finish by Satchville Flyer. So the small sample size is what we have of that Windsor race, and its time figure has been well represented next time out. And you'd have to say that Bohemian Dollar got on really well with Catherine Glinster as well, who rode Sir Billy Wright the other day to good effect down in Chepstow. So I do like that continuity there of jockey and horse. Not badly drawn right in the middle, so she can go either way. And it's a hands and heels race as well, so this horse looks like it is very much a finesse and touch feel horse.
Yeah.
So lots of positives in the horse's direction, most predominantly that big speed figure that it produced at Windsor.
What about dangers then? Because there are plenty in the race. You've got the likes of Anonymous John, who is a bit of a plodder. He's a horse I've got a lot of time for, but just isn't the fastest, but keeps going close. And again, in a race like this, could have a squeak. You've got Dane Case, who was a winner last time out. You've got Swanton Blues, the only course winner in the lineup, and that was here like when last seen by 2.25 lengths. And that one has the top quality apprentice, the talking apprentice, if you like, Ross Orion.
Ross Orion, yeah.
On board. And right down at the bottom, not with very good form per se, and out of the handicap, the West Walian. But he does represent Peter Hyatt, who won this race last year with Monarch Mead when Lulu Stanford was on board. So you can make cases for plenty of them, and there's some there that we haven't even touched on that have got chances.
Yeah.
What do you rate as the main danger to Bohemian
Dollar? You'd have to say Swanton Blue, really. Ever since he's also been gelded, he's shown a more consistent level of form. The fact that he's won two of his last three starts has got to be a positive, and it's course and distance form as well. Added on top of that, decent pilot, as you quite rightly pointed out as well. Then we've got to be giving that one some serious consideration.
Mm.
But I'd be more than comfortable with my original choice, Bohemian Dollar.
Okay. Bohemian Dollar then gets the nod in the Salisbury 5:30. We'll move over to Ireland for a race now. The 6:10. It wouldn't be a podcast without Andy talking about Irish racing, and obviously you won't be doing a podcast in the morning, will you, as you are
that's
live
the rule.
On the that, radio
those are the
on.
Rules
them's,
we have to abide
them's
by
them's the rules. The 6:10 at Roscommon is a novice hurdle coming up over the extended 2.5 mile trip, and there's some pretty likely types. Most of them have been winning pretty prolifically already. In fact, there's only two horses that come here off the back of runs that weren't wins, and they were second place finishes for Blast of Cooman and Doran's River. But it's a good race, this, but we'll start with Robin de Foray, who has to carry the penalty here for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh, but has looked pretty good so far, has to be said.
Yeah, he got the job done okay last time we saw him down in Kilbeggan. He handled the brush hurdles fair enough that day, and he started quite strongly to beat a horse called Hidden Charmer, who in himself is a fairly useful type. Back in third was a horse called Fly, Rory Fly, who probably would have won a beginner's chase at Clonmel the other day, but for not falling at the second last. So you'd have to say he's the one to beat. But I was really, really taken by Cook Islands' victory on debut at Punchestown. He was well backed in the market, went on 5-2. And although he won by 2.5 lengths in the end, that really doesn't tell the whole story, because there's a horse that fell halfway down the backstretch, probably about third or fourth hurdle. And in trying to avoid that stricken horse, he almost got carried right off onto the chase track, because the horse got up, galloped to its left, and took Cook Islands all the way out with it. And you would have thought that at that particular juncture, the horse would have no chance of getting back in the race and winning. But not only that, he came back to such an effect, he was well on top at the end. So I think he can massively upgrade that winning performance. And he beat, let's face it, quite a couple of nice sort of guides to the form. The likes of Liam Arbin been running consistently well from the Golden Elliot Stable. First Class Ticket had gone there off the back of a good run the time before and was well found in the market. So I actually think he's a major player. The other one to mention is Doran's River, who got on the wrong side of the argument with a horse called Is She Diesel, who hit the ball out of the park twice back-to-back at Ballinrobe at the last meeting. And Doran's River might have given the winner more to think about had he not made such a bad mistake at the last. He dragged his hind legs through the hurdle. So he's another one to consider. But Cook Islands, hugely impressive when he won first time out. And he could be another winner for Joseph O'Brien, who's going really well under both codes.
Okay, Cook Islands then, who has a well, had some decent enough form on the flat, and was is one of those battalion of Aidan O'Brien ones that you wouldn't have been surprised at all if this had ended up in good races such as the Derby, etc.
Well, exactly,
and
yeah.
And ends up with Joseph O'Brien, and he's now making hay over hurdles.
Well, so. him and Land of Hope and Glory were very similar, weren't they?
Yes.
Land of Hope and Glory obviously flew the flag for the early juvenile form early on in the season. You could have said that Cook Islands would have easily gone down that route, but they obviously kept him off and perhaps bought him in for a... you know, a late spring stroke summer campaign when the ground dries out, and you know, he's nearly 100 racing on the flat.
Yeah, exactly. And it could be key as well that Robin de Foray up at the top, very different profile. That one actually drops in trip, doesn't it? That was 3 miles last time out.
Yeah.
This is two and a half. So it could be that Cook Islands can just outspeed them in that Roscommon 6.10. The 6.20 comes up now, and that's from Lingfield. This one's on the turf over a mile and two. Nine of them set to go to post here, including right down at the bottom there, Megalalathi. Grand old stager, running for the 144th time on this occasion. Looks up against it, though, in this race. This race, slightly less obvious in terms of those with outstanding claims. There's a few who have been in decent form. There's also a few that are handicapped to the hilt.
Yeah, this one is probably the most speculative of my quartet that I'm going to put up. But it's in the hope that perhaps she can bounce back to her form previously over today's course and distance. And it's also a selection that probably might turn out to be ground related as well. The horse I'm going to go for is Becca Campbell here, Alex, from the wildly informed Eve Johnson Horton, who's, I think, had 11 or 12 winners in the last fortnight. And one of the most disappointing aspects of that little period was Becca Campbell's performance at Brighton last time out. When she didn't handle the good to firm ground, it dried out quite significantly to what we had in the morning paper that day. I think we had a lot of rain and then it went vroom for 2 days and it was good to firm. The times when she's gone to Brighton and the ground's been on the fast side, she has run terribly at the seaside venue. But on the flip side of that argument, when she's had soft ground or a little bit of juice digging the ground, she's been very, very impressive, as she was when she won here over the course and distance on, I think it was... the Derby Trial and Oaks Day?
It was the 13th of May.
It was indeed.
So
it was indeed.
That
and
seems about right.
If you compare her sectionals that day,
it was indeed
with Best Solution and Hartford Dancer.
Hartford Dancer, yep.
This horse ran the last four furlongs 2 seconds quicker than those group raced horses. I actually thought she was a good thing when she went to Brighton. But as I said, the ground did for her. So if there is some ease in the ground at Lingfield, at the moment it's good. You've got obviously what's the first race, you've got to what's the weather forecast. If they have showers and they do bubble up from time to time, and I think we don't get the dry weather coming until Wednesday onwards this week. The more rain, the better her chance, basically, because she will beat this field if there is juice in the ground. There's nothing I'll live with in the last three furlongs here.
Okay. Main danger, maybe Guinea up at the top?
Yeah, Guinea is very, very consistent. I do like Pamsler. I think she's got an excellent... winter run ratio with the horses, very, very good strike rate. She is fairly adaptable with regards to ground and track. I think she's sure to go well. And we've also got Packet in as well from the Meehan stable, who didn't run too badly last time out in quite a decent little heat at Bath on the figures when beaten by Attain. But it's all about Becca Campbell, really. If you take that run, and there was excuses for that run at Brighton away, she'd be a short price favourite to beat this lot.
Okay. Right, we'll move to Suttle then for the final race we're going to focus on. It's the 9 o'clock and it's a handicap hurdle over just shy of 2 miles, but basically 2 miles. And this looks sort of typical Suttle fare. It's not the strongest race that you'll ever see, but there are a few in this race that certainly could be on the upgrade and potentially could be capable of racking up a sequence.
Yeah, I do like the way Sam Thomas has finally found the key to his horses, and I like the way he's sort of campaigned them recently over the summer months. He's all of a sudden starting to have a lot of winners. And Powder on the Bonnet was one of those that added to his collection of successes in recent times. And I thought he did it quite readily the other day at Fos Las. Not only did he win impressively on the eye, the time figure was pretty good. And that backs up a very good run the time before over today's course and distance behind an informed Fergal O'Brien horse called Icon Motor, who... has gone on to Sorry, had gone there off the back of a good run the time before.
Eigenmoot was very consistent.
Very, very consistent, yeah. But there were long distances back there to King Song, who was fancied in that race. So I think the form of both races is very solid. And it's no great significance to me, or no great, sorry, coincidence to me, that the last three performances of Powder on the Bonnet have all been better than what it has done previously because it's been gelded.
Okay.
So going back to the track as well, I do like horses like Riddleston, for instance, loves Southall. Yeah. You do get a lot of horses that go well on this flat left-handed track with the brush hurdles. And Sam Thomas seems to have just found the key to finding winners here at Southall. He's had quite a few in recent times.
And these silks as well, you often see
that's right.
them racking up a sequence, as I mentioned. And interesting to see this horse also has entries at Worcester and Uttoxeter in the next few days as well. So it could be something to keep an eye on if it does win here at Southall. Could be out almost immediately.
Yeah, Lovely Touch, that's the other horse I'm thinking of in these same colours, who's won a couple of races here at Southall. So he's obviously identified this track as a real happy hunting ground for him. His horses always seem to be going well here, and I do like backing these National Hunt horses this time of year when they are in the groove, and he very much is.
Okay. Powder on the Bonnet then gets the nod in the Southall 9 o'clock. Can you just spin us through your four fancies then across four different tracks? I'll get them up for you, don't worry.
Bohemian Dollar is the first of them in the 5:30 at Salisbury. Then we go over to Ireland for Cook Islands.
Nice.
Yes.
Look at this. See what I did then. This before.
In the 6:10 at Roscommon. Then go to the 6:20 at Lingfield. Well, I'm going to take a chance at Becca Campbell. Bounces back, but more predominantly keep an eye on the weather forecast for her. And then we end with the final race of the day at Southall. Powder on the Bonnet, representing Inform Stable, and won there last time out, or two starts ago previously there. So let's go with Powder on the Bonnet.
Okay. Consummate professional, Andy Hogan.
Thank you.
You chuck stuff at him, he just goes with it. Right, enjoy the racing on Tuesday, and make sure, listeners, you tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio. Andy, pleasure talking to you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.